Welcome to episode 6, I think, of weekly NFT time with Bruce the Goose. I'm your host, Bruce the Goose. This week we got a talk with another talk with Vandal from DAO Records, talking about the DAO he's starting and the pop-up volume 5 that is their party they host in Crypto Voxels on a semi-weekly basis. I think this is the last one for the season. And a short conversation with the district manager for, or the community manager for District 0X, Brady. We'll get him back on soon. I was having connection troubles and audio issues that day. But District 0X is a super cool project. They run a meme factory, which is tokenized memes as NFTs. It's all community controlled for what memes make it into the dank registry and which ones don't. And they have ETHLANCE, which is freelancing for Ethereum, as well as NameBazaar, which is an integrated system with the Ethereum naming service. And they got a bunch of cool stuff coming up, so definitely go check them out. Give Brady a follow on Twitch. He's he does Dapp Digest. It's a cool show. So hope you enjoy the episode. Hope you're sticking around, following. It'll get better soon. All right, love y'all. Enjoy.
Hey, can you hear me now?
I can.
Cool. I think we're working.
Yeah, it seems that way. Didn't Anchor decide to stop the background music. Pull up those questions I had. Yes, there's no real rhyme or reason to my podcast. It's usually just pretty organic for the moment.
Okay. It's a good way to start.
Talking about NFTs and decentralizing and tokenizing other things.
Yeah. That's a good way to start a conversation, kind of keeping it open-ended anyway. It tends to be more interesting if you just chat a little bit.
Yeah. And for people to come back so we can actually get to the questions.
Yeah.
So if you want to tell everybody who's not aware of it, what District 0X is, what you guys do.
Yeah, District 0X is, you could think of it pretty much like a general purpose marketplace framework for decentralized communities. That could be any kind of marketplace, be it like a replacement for eBay or Amazon, Airbnb, Uber, Lyft, anything like that. Those are all just examples of community marketplaces, but obviously Web3 opens up a lot of possibilities that weren't possible previously. So we're building on a lot of those to give governance and a lot of tools that allow you to expand it to third-party communities and allow people to expand that reach a little bit more to a wider use case. And one of those examples that we did was the first marketplace, which was ETHLANCE. And that's just a general purpose job marketplace. It's a freelancing platform. And that has pretty much everything you would need for that you would expect from any community marketplace. That's like posting, listing, searching, filtering, invoicing and payments. And with ETHLANCE 2.0 coming up here pretty soon, even more features that are very Web3 exclusive. Including arbiter roles for dispute resolution and things like that. But that was just the general framework for any marketplace. And you could think of a lot of these frameworks we're developing like WordPress templates to where when we launch our main thing that a lot of people express excitement about is the district designer, which is kind of like a WordPress type like website creator, but it's like a low to no code drag and drop interface to create your own dApps and community marketplaces using a lot of the modules that have been templated in our previous marketplaces. And that includes like Meme Factory, which was another one of our marketplaces, of course, and it's more of a non-fungible token exclusive platform, but it also has a token curated registry component. And those components can be, they're like drag and drop modules that you can use in this district designer. So we're still a little ways out from that actually being launched, but we're in the smart contract development phase right now. And the current marketplaces that are live, which is NameBazaar, ETHLANCE, and Meme Factory. You could think of those kind of like WordPress templates. And then we're going to have something very similar to WordPress plugins to extend functionality of those marketplaces when the District Designer is launched. And we call them auxiliary modules, but they're just a way to make your marketplaces more extensible.
That's very cool.
But that's it in a nutshell. There's a little bit more to it, especially when we dig into the Aragon side of things and governance and allowing people to have decision making. Like Meme Factory has like on-chain decision making. You can actually change the fees and the payout structure for how much people get paid for voting and challenging and all of that. And that's all completely in control of the token holders. That's an example of kind of low level governance, but some of the even higher level stuff, like how people are going to manage funds if there was like a treasury behind Meme Factory, or if we took fees and people could actually decide whether or not those types of features were actually put in place, or grant writing, or any kind of larger, higher level decision making would be in Aragon, Aragon is actually live and integrated in the district registry at the moment.
That's very cool. Yeah, I was talking to DAO Stack today about setting up a DAO for like the whole art community thing I'm trying to do that keeps shifting what its whole vision is. But like, I want to set it up as a DAO where like everybody who's like the whole.
All right, we are recording. I think we're
probably
on Gooshy, which is a adult content streaming platform. Good time.
Okay. So how's it going, man?
It is going.
Nice. It's very hazy over here. Sometimes we get like the forest fires that happen around the region, and it blows the haze in and kind of sticks in here the valley, so it's like super hazy today. But nonetheless, it is a new day, it is a new morning, and here we are.
Word. Yeah, it's kind of how my whole deal is. Like, I mean, some days are okay, some days suck ass, but that's life.
Yeah.
I could just get this ADD under control and not be 40 browser tabs deep all the time, get things done, things would probably start getting better.
But the COVID I guess ADD, that's always the challenge. Yeah. Yeah, man. I like, we don't even really know what the results of all of this is going to be down the road for people. And, you know, we just have to look out for each other and recognize when things are off, like, you know, whether it's your mental health, your physical health, whatever it is, just be more aware of things so that we can recognize and then have an outlet to talk to people. I think that's also very important. We need a network of people that we can talk to, that we can communicate with, that we can, you know, have that kind of contact.
Yeah, like I used to game like 24/7 when I wasn't working, and like I'd be hanging out with people in voice chat all the time, you know, and we were gaming together. And then before COVID, when I was trying to build up a dropshipping business, like between work and that, like I just stopped gaming completely, and so I lost touch with my whole gaming crew. And now there's days when it's just like I just want human contact that isn't like through text. Like I just want to hang out with somebody.
Yeah.
It's over the interwebs.
Yeah. That's the perfect reason to do your show, right? Because now you get an opportunity to hang out with different people. Have conversations, talk about cool shit, and share it with people.
Yeah, and I'm every once in a while I stream, and I've been playing Skyweaver in the private beta, which is one of who knows how many goddamn trading card games are coming out on blockchain, but there's a bunch of them.
Yeah.
Skyweaver is really cool. Every once in a while, I stream that.
Yeah, it's hard to keep track of everything in this space, to be honest.
It's crazy.
Which is cool.
It is.
It's exciting and crazy and overwhelming and I don't know. It's hard to put words around it.
Yeah, the space is definitely blown up. And there's so much going on. I got dragged into the space by what's Engine and Alterverse and stuff like that, and I pay zero attention to anything Engine's doing right now because I'm so busy on Ether. So much going on.
Yeah, Engine actually has been reaching out to crypto art creators and trying to promote their platform as another alternative to mint NFTs on
Yeah,
using the Engine.
there's a big crypto art community on the Engine platform. The problem is the Engine minting platform charges $10 per mint before whatever Engine
Oh,
coin you
yeah.
lock into your token.
Well, yeah, I haven't investigated it, so I'm not totally in the know on the specifics, but
The
yeah,
first
I
NFT I
like
minted was a meme for the Reward IO clapback contest. It was an engine meme. It's got I think 5 engine coin are locked into it, so you can melt the token and get that engine coin out of it. But I'll never sell it. It's my first ever NFT.
Okay. That sounds a little similar to what Bullion X is doing with their gold NFTs. So you stake DGX coin, and then that gets attached to basically as your collateral or whatever the brain isn't working right now. But it attaches to your token to reflect the value of gold, essentially for the value of weight in gold that your token is. So I
Right.
guess it's similar to Engine, where you can kind of you can burn it or melt it at the end to get those tokens back if you want, and the value remains based on the value of gold, based on the value of Engine.
Yeah, the ability to lock engine coins into an NFT is off. Like, I want to, like, I gotta find a blockchain programmer to be friends with. 'Cause I would love to do that for roll currencies. Like, give the
Yeah, it's
people
a
the
proof of
ability to
stake
lock their
mechanism,
social
though, right?
currency
Isn't it?
into a token. Yeah, I
Yeah.
gotta look more into it. It's the ERC-1155 protocol, so it's a whole different NFT protocol than what we're
Yeah.
used to. I gotta look more into it.
Yeah, because the beauty of that protocol is that you can mint NFTs under an NFT. So you can have sort of one, I guess, a master NFT, and then below it you can have multiple other mints under it, so it
Right, yeah.
allows for, I guess, more flexibility with whatever it is you're making.
And their whole SDK is open source
Maybe
now, and you
even
can build on their platform to integrate your game assets into their whole multiverse. And
yeah, and that's totally awesome.
once
There, I was
insert clever
exploring
name
them,
here, because the goose nest is going dark and getting rebranded and whatnot. It's all getting resituated. Once that's all up and running, I want to set up I mean, I guess it would come out of the DAO fund, if it's set up as a DAO and people are buying tokens and shit like that, to pay for a developer plan on the Engine platform to allow people to easily mint NFTs.
Are they doing a DAO? Is Engine doing a
No,
DAO?
I mean, I'm doing a DAO with the whole goose nest
Oh,
idea,
okay.
which
Yeah.
is probably going to become Nifty Nation. I think, I don't know, I haven't
Yeah.
figured out a name for it yet. It might be NFT time. Because that's the podcast, and that's the newsletter, and that might just be the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great, man. I'm really loving the diversity of the things that we can do in the space, not only just with the tokens and with the NFTs and with the community and with the art and with the music, but also community-wise with DAOs and how DAOs are benefiting the open source and the collective intelligence of the people involved in the communities, and how it's open and fair and transparent, always evolving. And that's something that I was blessed to be involved in a DAO called DAO Fest. I started getting into it, I guess it was like November last year, and I had experience proposing in a DAO, being a part of a DAO, executing projects, and it's really influenced, I guess, the direction, you know, with DAO Record. And now we're kind of on the precipice of making a slight pivot back to the original idea of DAO Records, of actually being a DAO, being co-owned by members of the community, having contributions, having funds available for artists and builders to do things to benefit the DAO and so on. So that's our, like, it's underway at the moment, and I'm hoping that, you know, we can align it with all the other stuff that DAO Records has already been doing, just as building a community and trying out cool shit and experimenting, like the pop-up, you know, all this NFT and audio NFT stuff, which is like about to happen very soon. I'm super excited about it. Yeah, man, it's just like, whoa. crazy is about to unfold. Make,
like, videos and stuff with audio as NFTs.
Yeah, but an MP4 is different, because if you want to put like a whole song on and you render your track as a video file as an MP4, you're going to end up reducing either the visual quality or the sound quality in order to get it to fit with like a 35 megabyte size file size. Having an audio NFT, I think we can kind of solve that problem a bit easier, because it's not an MP4 and it's not as heavy, I guess.
Yeah, it's all very, very, all the technical stuff totally freaking eludes me.
Yeah, it really, I think, comes down to file size. You know, and if that was the beauty of the MP3, right? That's how the MP3 changed the whole game for music completely, was because they managed to squeeze, you know, a full song, which as a wave, you know, is usually like 1 megabyte a minute or whatever, right? So they managed to like compress that right down without losing too much audio quality, and then having the flexibility within the codec to make it lower or higher quality of an MP3. And that really, like, that enabled so much innovation. So I think an audio NFT that kind of follows the same principles will do the same thing for the NFT scene for music. It will just, it is going to cause a new wave of craziness, just like the NFTs did for the crypto arts community, you know. And this is like coming. It's coming, and it's going to be totally awesome.
Yeah, it's awesome to be a part of this space, like, right now, and it's, everybody's like, oh, what are we doing? And 10 years from now, we're going to be the pioneers, and people are going to be like, well, these guys were putting art on the blockchain 10 years ago. Like, bro, while you were all worried about COVID and murder hornets, we were over here doing fucking world-changing events.
Yeah, and that's what the underground has always been doing, and you know, this is sort of my background and my history is from like underground culture, like being a part of hip hop in the late 80s and early 90s, and it being so underground, you know, radio didn't play your songs, venues wouldn't give you the venue to do your events, like there was all this struggle that came with it, but through that, there was so much innovation that happened, and that led to the possibilities and the opportunities now that people have with hip hop. Like, they're making billions of dollars or millions of dollars off of the music that was started by these pioneers, who at the end of the day, many of them, you know, didn't get anything out of it. So I'm kind of seeing the similarities and the parallels with the NFT and the crypto art scene and blockchain on the open source side, as opposed to, you know, the institutional or the sort of make money business company centric concepts of crypto and blockchain.
I've been a juggalo for 20 years, so like, I've been in underground culture for a minute. And like, they throw the music festival, like, every single year that they've thrown their music festival for the past 20 years, they lose money. But they do it for the fans and for the, like, we're family to them, you know what I mean? Like, they're not doing it to make money. I mean, they make plenty of money, I'm sure. But at the gathering
Yeah,
specifically, like they're in the red every year because they're paying artists to be there and shit
that's the
and
thing,
paying for
right?
the venue and all that.
When you love something, you're going to do it regardless of if there's money involved, you know? And I think that we all see it as, well, many of us, I think, would see it as A, an experience that we get to share with other people who we can relate to in the scope of the culture and the scene that it is, and also an investment in our future because we're having making these experiences, and that gets put on our sort of life resume. And as we go along with life, we have done these things that now can allow us to do other things that we could have more paid opportunities, or you know, be able to monetize easier, or get in the door here or there. So, you know, when we go with the approach of it's not the approach of directly and immediately making money off of something, but it's that I love doing this, so I'm going to do it. And if it makes me money, that's great. Or I will try and get it to make me money so that I can sustain and keep doing it because this is what I love to do. And that's what I see with the crypto arts community from the creator. And you know, there's a whole variety of things that happen within the scene because obviously there are people who are longtime open source, you know, more technical people who've maybe mined Ethereum or came in a while ago, or you know, certain other people who have a lot of Ethereum who are just like, this is really cool. Let me invest. Let me get some crypto art. Let me do something in the scene. You know, so it's an interesting body of characters that are here.
It's
And
very interesting.
I and I've
Yeah.
already seen like it's so small, but I've already seen like, you know, people having beef and like this discussion over what's art, what's not art. And this is like it's beautiful to see because, you know, this is real shit. Everybody has an opinion,
Right, I've
and
like
nobody's
poured heart and
opinion
soul into
is
some of my
necessarily
artwork.
really right or wrong.
I can't draw or
What's
shit.
that?
I said I can't draw or shit, but like you put me in front of a computer with access to the entire internet full of web apps that I can take like generate images or
Yeah.
modify images, etc., etc. I can make some pretty cool shit. And like I've poured my heart and soul into some of it and like taken a lot of time to do some of the stuff I've done, and I've made more off freaking trash art than anything. I minted 10 copies of the
Yeah,
Trash
and you
Supper
know.
and like one person bought 9 of them and then has resold several of them for more than I made off the whole freaking set.
Yeah, but hey, that adds value to your art,
It
which
does.
means that then you can say, my next art, I'm going to raise the price because look at the value increasing of the secondary market. So
Yeah, and
it is good at the
I'm
same
uh
time,
I think
you
the
know.
second independent artist to get partnered with Grow Your Base. And I was under the impression that the minted copies of the artwork I did exclusively for the Grow Your Base partnership was only available through Grow Your Base rewards, but they have like 4 of them up for sale for 1 ether on OpenSea. Like, oh, cool. Am I getting some of that if you sell them, please? Like, I have no money.
Yeah.
I would like some money from my art.
It is really like interesting to just kind of be an observer as well sometimes, just to kind of watch and see what happens. And I don't know. I think that I kind of connected. This was the first time, like I've been kind of dabbling in blockchain and crypto, like a lot of different things in this space since early 2017. And this is the first time that I actually felt like I found sort of my tribe, you know, within the space. Like there are finally like creatives in the space. I was waiting, like, where are the creatives? Why aren't You know, why is it all about money and business and ICO and tokenizing and use my chain and this chain, that chain's better than this chain? Like, it's like, yeah, all right, but I need my creatives, and here they are, you know. So
Right,
it's
like
been
it
great,
gives
like
me a
just
creative
like
outlet that
taking
I
this journey
otherwise
with.
probably never would have had. Like I said, I can't draw or shit, you know what I mean? Like I had no real reason to do digital art, 'cause why, you know what I mean? as who I am, like the man behind the goose, like I got social anxiety and I don't like rejection. So like people are like, "Yo, your art sucks." I'm gonna be like, "Well, that sucks. I'm gonna stop doing it." But as somebody who's basically completely anonymous behind my moniker online, you know what I mean? Like, so what if you don't like it? You don't know me.
Yeah, that's true, man. And that I think is empowering as well, you know, like you
Yeah,
find
very
ways
much.
that you can empower yourself and you know, feel good about what you do and feel good about
It's
not
very
giving a shit
validating.
about what people think too.
Yeah, I don't
Yeah.
give a shit about what people think
Yeah,
anyway, you
man.
know what I mean? But like,
I'm
what, like there was no outlet for my digital artwork that was basically just randomly I would do it at times, you know what I mean? Like I'd take cool screenshots and video games and be like, "Oh, this looks fucking, oh my, holy shit, I just, that's a whole new NFT space right there." Video game screenshots,
Yeah.
because those are unique. Especially
Yeah.
No
Yeah.
Man's Sky, as an example, it is a procedurally generated, damn near infinite universe, and like I have a ton of awesome screenshots from that. About to tokenize a bunch of them.
Wow. Yeah, the possibilities like with art are really endless, and it's very like, you know, I'm always the kind of person to be supportive of people who create, whether or not I personally like what they create. I think that's not really relevant unless they ask me for some constructive criticism or whatever. But if it's just the general thing, I'll be supportive of everybody. And you know, who am I to judge what somebody thinks art is? Like I'm not there to be that person. So it's really hard to define because it is different things to different people. Like some people might like a song, other people might hate that song. It doesn't make that song bad or it doesn't make it good. It's just what it is.
Oh,
You know?
speaking of music and shit,
So
are you guys on Audius?
yeah. Although I don't know how it wor really works in terms of getting paid on Audius, because they don't really give you any details about, you know, what how they pay
Yeah, I'm
and
not
if they pay, and,
entirely certain on that. I
you know.
think. I mean, they're still early in development. Like, I mean, I found out about them through the Open Web Collective, because I'm in their accelerator program from Near Protocol. So definitely A, get them on
Yeah.
this podcast at some point, and B, be like, hey, you guys should add like a tip button. That'd be cool.
Yeah, the first audio blockchain I was on was MusicCoin, and that
I've not
was
heard of that
about
one,
in 2018.
but
And I
I'm
was
still so
pretty
new to the
heavy
space.
into MusicCoin, mainly because it was really the only platform that was A, active, B, actually like paid you in MusicCoin for your tracks when they were listened to, and they had a real sort of use case in the community building around it. And then you know, certain things happen like they do when you're the first mover and you're not ready to kind of adapt or change or, you know, do things you need to do. And then other platforms come along. So after that was Tune, and then Tune, you know, it was r really kind of hard. Like I was trying to get my tunes notes out, and there was all these problems, and then, you know, it lost value, and then there were and Emanate came after that. So I'm a part of Emanate as well as an early adopter and uploader and label, or not label, I guess just the collective, or, you know, put my art up and everybody, all the artists get their own accounts that go up, and I think they're doing the best job out of all of the audio blockchains, in my opinion.
Right, I'll have to check that one out too. I do a little bit of music. Like, I mean, it's nothing special. It's just I have an app on my phone that's like, here's a bunch of like beat collections and different sounds you can put together, and I do that sometimes. I've had people give me really good feedback on a couple of the songs I've set up. Like, I just started
Hey,
uploading to SoundCloud
keep doing
yesterday.
it, man.
I just started uploading to SoundCloud yesterday. I don't remember exactly why. Oh yeah, 'cause my website that I'm working on, like I wanted to like embed a song, and I was like, oh, SoundCloud will let me do that. And like somebody hit me up on there. They're like, yo, this is fucking banging, dude. Like, hit me up on Instagram. We have a music promotion page and I'll post your shit. And I was like, oh, that's fucking awesome. Thanks.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Yeah, they're, you know, I think it's like you just need to have the people who like your stuff listen to it. They're out there, you
Right.
know, and we don't know they're out there because we don't know them, and they might know we're there, so they might not even know they would like us, and until they converge, then only, you know, we can just do what we can do by, you know, promoting our stuff, getting it up on all the platforms, connecting with other artists and communities, and then it kind of can spread like that.
I mean, I can't. I'm not allowed to say anything about it yet. Cause I don't know. Somebody randomly found me on Twitter, and like I assumed they found me through Grow Your Base, but it wasn't. And like in their name tag on Twitter, it says seeking NFT art and audio. And I was like, hey, what's up? I do some NFT art and audio. And basically, he's setting up like an augmented reality NFT thing. Like it looks really cool. And he told
All
me to
right.
not say much about it yet,
Nice.
but he said it should be ready for release next week. And I'm gonna be submitting a
Yeah.
couple pieces of art that are so far unreleased for that. And like all the virtual
Yeah,
worlds and shit too,
that sounds
like
really
is
cool.
insane. Like
Yeah.
crypto voxels and Decentraland and shit. Like I got my fingers in too many pies. I gotta get back a hold of a couple people. But like there's somebody who does like a radio station at his Decentraland parcel. And like
Was that fresh off the blockchain? Is that what's his name? Needles. Frankie Needles. Is that the guy?
no,
Because
Frankie
he's
Needles
been
I think
doing
was just live in no, that was that somebody else? I don't know, somebody was doing something live in the Whale Discord today.
Frankie Needles is heavy in Decentraland, and he's been doing sort of these regular podcasts from a radio station in Decentraland, and it's quite interesting. Like, I mean, you go in, it looks like a radio station, you know, it's got the desk, it's got the mics and the setup and the screen on the back that you can basically post mirror your screen, so you can screen share on it and stuff. So it's pretty cool, and he's over on Scent as well. I think he recently had Matthew from Scent on to talk about stuff, and he's got a, you know, he's doing his radio thing in Decentraland, which is pretty cool.
Nice. That's Open NFT, I think he is on Twitter. Like he's a collector, and like he has a art his personal collection, I guess, as a art gallery, and like he does a radio station or something. I gotta get a hold of him at some point. I was supposed to interview him at some point for this podcast. There's just so much going on in this space that I like lose track of the people I'm supposed to talk to, and like I don't even pay attention to my Google Calendar. Like I've probably missed out on so many opportunities by just getting distracted by a million other things.
Yeah, there's so much going on, and you know, we have like it's 24 time zones, right? So it is really
Right.
hard to manage everything that's happening. And it's funny because, you know, like I'm like, all right, we do the pop-up, it happens at 1 p.m. Eastern, and then, well, I'm here, what time is it? I'm confused about the timing. What day? You know, if you're in New Zealand, it's the day after in the morning, like, and it's yeah, I can see how, you know, at this point people are starting to, you know, have to do more time zone math, you know. It's like, okay.
Yeah, it's that's why
Easy for
with
us.
the
No, you're in
whole
Berlin. Okay,
like
that's 6.
the idea of the NFT calendar, it's like it's all gonna be in UTC, like universal time. You figure it out on your own. This is the time it is. You should know your own shit. Like your UTC minus or plus whatever. Past that, it's none of my goddamn concern. I'm converting time zones all the time. We all just need to adapt to
Yeah, but
living by UTC time.
yeah, It's true. But then you have like artists who are on the pop-up who are like, hey, I'm in here, what's going on? And they're in there at 5 p.m. UTC, but 5 p.m. their time.
Right.
So like they didn't quite get it. I think a lot of people are just not used to seeing that, right?
Squirrel
Especially with
time.
something
It's
that
a
is time sensitive.
term
You're
I've heard
just
it
like,
called.
oh, they're used to seeing other. In my local time, I just, automatically assume this is for me, is my local time,
Right.
So, but they'll get used to it, I think, as we start to, build more global communities online and participate in more global online events and activities. Yeah. But it's cool. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun, definitely.
Yeah, it's wild. It's great to be a part of.
Yeah. And I guess since we're on that time zone scheduling note, I might as well plug the pop-up, if that's okay.
Yeah, go right ahead. I mean, it's 11 p.m. here, but like eight audience I have for my podcast. I don't know where they're at. All over the world, I think. So
Yeah.
I'll put this
Yeah,
out
I'm at.
tonight sometime.
For me, it's 10:40 a.m. So my time, the pop-up happens at 1 a.m. So it's actually for me, it's the 24th. But I just say the 23rd because most of the world, it's at on the 23rd. So that's like 8 a.m. in L.A., 1 p.m. in New York. I forget what London is, but you guys can figure it out. And this will be our fifth and final installment of the pop-up, which was really just sort of like an experiment to try and take what I've been doing in the real world with my community hip-hop events and then translate them online with sort of a hybrid online radio style podcast slash pre-recorded live show. And really, it's meant to be a vehicle for people to discover new music. So I help to kind of like curate the music, and then I will host the show. So I'll have talk sets in between the songs, just to kind of discuss, a little bit about the song, a little bit about the space that we're in. We are going to be, it's a really freaking awesome space. It's the rooftop of the Voxel Hotel in Crypto Voxels, and it's super cool. You can chill in the jacuzzi. You can check out the DJ console and just interact. And there's a dance floor and laser lights, and it's super cool. And we're really happy that a lot of money and Basilius allowed us to use the space. So super excited for Volume 5. And I don't know. Okay, so I guess maybe what I'll do is I'll just share a bit about the people who are performing, or not, they won't be performing, but will be featuring their songs. So we've got Ragnar Vaelen, who is a Canadian rapper, and we have Dolores, which is a, I guess, a electro rock. I'm not exactly sure how to define their music, but it's awesome, and it's they're from Mexico. We have Sins, which is metal slash rock instrumentalist and vocalist from Malaysia. We have another Canadian rapper. His name is Conscience. And then we have these rapper activist guys who are called Test Their Logic, who are also there. And the freaking awesome artwork by what's his face? I always forget how to say his name. Where is he? Yeah, Neurocolor, that's it. Neurocolor from Mexico. So he kind of linked in Dolores as well. So shout out to Neurocolor. He's got some really awesome stuff, and we're really excited. So if you're out there, join us, the pop-up. Get at us at Dow Records everywhere, Dow Records underscore on Twitter. And hope to see you there, Bruce.
Yeah, what time is that, UTC? I'll try to make it.
5 p.m. UTC.
All right, so that'll be noon for me. I will have to reschedule my shit going on in the morning because I would like to make it to that. I'm supposed to start moving tomorrow, but I can probably put that
Awesome,
off for
man.
an hour or so.
Okay. Yeah. Well, if you can make it like for the live show, that's totally awesome. I understand that sometimes the time zones and the timing doesn't work out for people. But the pop-up is there until it gets taken down by the owners of the space to clean it up for whatever they're doing next. So whoever's out there who, you know, if you're listening to this and you might have missed the show or you can't make it for whatever reasons, you can always jump in the space and you can explore, have a look around, hit the YouTube embed, listen to the show. Or if you simply just want to like do it on your own time anywhere in your browser, just head to our YouTube and you can watch all the pop-ups, the podcast versions there.
Very cool. I will have to do that. I'll make sure to feature you guys on my website when I'm getting it set up, because you've been one of the early supporters of the whole vision. So, and I'll get a hold of you directly about some other stuff that may or may not be happening.
Awesome, man. Yeah. And thanks again. I really appreciate you know us making this connection and you asking me to be on your show to talk and to chat with you about things because
Yeah, the
you
whole
know
idea of this show is to
I love
like
doing it.
get people exposure. I mean, I get like maybe 10 listens on an episode right now, but I mean, it's a few weeks in, you know what I mean? And like, as a creator in general, like, I'm a baby. I'm so new to the whole scene. So, like, give it a year or two, and people are like, oh, let me listen to these old episodes. Like, it's gonna add exposure to a lot of people. And that's the whole idea.
Yeah. Awesome, man. I hope you keep it up, you know, and you have a safe move and everything works out for you over there. Yeah, man. It's I guess is there anything else you want to talk about? I'm gonna get
Do
to do one
not
of coffee, I think.
think so. I think I'm all Gucci right now.
Right.
I gotta start doing an artist feature on the podcast too and whatnot.
Nice.
I gotta reschedule with the Brady from District Zero X. I was supposed to do a call with him, but like my phone was being a piece of shit and I couldn't find my computer headset and like things just were shitty. So I gotta reschedule that. But like they got the whole they're doing a district creator basically, I think. I don't know. It's all the whole space is just there's too goddamn much.
Yeah. But you're doing a good job, man.
Yeah, I'm
So
trying.
keep it up.
Yeah, great to connect.
Awesome.
We'll get you back on at some point and I'll go over like the question script. But today was mostly I just wanted to
Okay.
get your shout out about the pop up.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, man. Look forward to talking again. I'll hit you up like I said about some things
Okay.
that may or
All
may
right.
not be going on.
Cool. All right. Thanks a lot, Bruce. Bruce
Yeah,
the
dude.
Goose. Awesome stuff, man. Thanks for having me again.
Have a good one.
Appreciate it. All right. Okay. Take care.
Peace,
Peace.
buddy.
All right.
All right, that was Vandal with Dow Records. They are very cool. You should check them out on Scent or on YouTube or on Twitter, wherever you do your stuff. They are building a record label on the blockchain and as well as setting up a DAO to try and democratize the music industry. As always, feedback is awesome. Check my website out at brucethegoose.engine.com. Keep an ear out for some pretty awesome guests coming up on NFT time. I'm Bruce the Goose. It's been great having you. Peace.